is up, we lift our head, wonder whether we should rise from bed. Oh, looking out the window, longing for what used to be. And we wonder, wonder, wonder when we can live again.
That was a song called Out of the Shadow by C.J. Cooper. C.J. just happens to be my very special guest this week. My name is Stuart McKee, and this is Musicians FAQ.
You've got to love yourself before you love anybody else.
My guest this week is an amazing musical artist out of Guelph, Ontario. She also happens to be a friend of mine and an occasional collaborator, co-writer. At just 21 years old, she has already played the Rogers Cup, toured on the Toronto to Vancouver via rail train, and played several shows as part of Canadian Music Week and the award-winning show choir, KW Glee. In 2020 and 2021, CJ was given a Community Hero Award from the mayor and was voted top local musician in Guelph. She released her debut album, Look Ahead, at 18 years of age, and has since released several singles and videos leading up to her next release. She attended Seneca College Independent Songwriting and Performance Program, and May 2022 will see her releasing her highly anticipated sophomore album. And that's what we're going to talk about today. She's been a guest on Musicians FAQ before. Please welcome my guest this week, CJ Cooper. So joining me on Musicians FAQ this week, it's CJ Cooper. CJ, welcome to the show.
Hi, Stuart. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. And CJ and I, of course, we've known each other for a bit. We've worked together on some collaborations. She sang some songs on my album. We've actually written a couple songs together. So I'm very excited to have her on the show. You actually were a guest on Musicians FAQ back when Steve Todd was doing the show. So for the benefit of maybe people who didn't hear that episode, we'll just kind of start with the basics, you know, where you're born, where you grew up. Just give us kind of a quick overview, your kind of condensed bio, and then we'll jump into what we really want to talk about is your new album that's coming out shortly.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, I was born and raised in Guelph, Ontario, and a very musical scene growing up there. Did a lot of festivals when I was younger, did a lot of music stuff in school. And then I went to Seneca College in Toronto for the independent songwriting and performance program. And I made my way back to Guelph. So I'm still here now and doing lots of shows and trying to get myself back out there.
Nice. And did you do, I didn't see you do a lot of virtual stuff. Were you doing any virtual shows during the pandemic?
Yeah, I actually did over 30 live streams in a local Facebook group called Guelph This and That. And so March through June of 2020, I was just, that was basically my job. My other job was not happening. So that was what I was doing most of the time.
Awesome. Good for you. Well, it'll be nice to actually be able to play live in public because apparently the pandemic's over now, so we can all celebrate. Anyways, I don't know if it's that simple, but we're excited to have live music back because it's taken a beating for sure. And in that time off, you've had a chance to put your new album together. So why don't you tell me about that, what the name of the album is and how it all evolved, and let's talk about that.
Yeah, the new album is called Are We There Yet? And it wasn't even really a conscious decision to create an album. I had songs that I had written, you know, in college and just around that time. And it wasn't until I started singing in that Facebook group doing all the live streams where the process kind of started for me. I ended up writing a song called Out of the Shadow, and I made a video with a compilation of kind of at home pandemic videos that I had people send me, and it turned into this really cool project, getting to collaborate with the community. And then from there, I was like, oh, well, I really like that song and I'm writing a lot more now and I've got these other songs that I like. So it kind of was a slow thought bubble of me, you know, kind of putting it all together. So
yeah, cool.
Some of these songs started, you know, I wrote them back in like 2018, 2019. So it wasn't a decision at that time to ever put them in an album, but they just kind of happened that way. And then it's just been a slow process over the last couple of years of putting everything together.
That's nice. And are they all co-writes and collaborations, or some of them self-penned, just you by yourself, or?
I'd say it's like a pretty equal mix. I had never really done much collaboration before I was in college. I would actually say probably none. And I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, I'd say 4 or 5 of the songs on the album. There's 10 songs total are co-writes or co-write and a duet where they're actually singing on the track or playing on the track. So it was definitely a really cool process this time to be able to include other people on the album.
Nice, nice. And who produced the album with you?
I actually used 2 producers, Matt Coble from Kitchener. He was my kind of main producer throughout the project, and I knew him from previous stuff that I've done. And then I used my friend Jordan White for a couple songs as well that kind of had a different style that I wanted to use.
Nice. Yeah, I haven't heard of Jordan. I'll have to check him out. Matt, I've heard about. He's popping up all over the place on collaborating and co-producing. Nick Boardman was one of the guys that I interviewed a while back, and he worked with him. And I know I was just out watching Katie Topham last week and met Angelica Appleton, and he had collaborated with her as well. And I see his name popping up a lot. So sounds like, yeah. So why don't we go through these songs kind of starting, and how many songs are on the album now?
There's 10.
10 songs. Perfect. Just like the old school albums of my day where you have 5 songs on each side and flip, you have to flip the record in between. I'm dating myself, of course, but your dad could probably relate to it. But so why don't we start at the beginning? Now, are they in chronological order, or are they assembled better and how you thought the music would flow together?
I actually went through the order several times trying to figure it out. I really thought that I had, you know, what I wanted as the order. And then when they were all done and I showed my family, we ended up making a lot of changes. So it's interesting how that kind of happens. We're like, that one just doesn't really fit there, or, you know, so I wouldn't say there's necessarily like a story that you have to go in order of it. It is more of a breaking down of the different genres and vibes that it kind of are on the album. But that being said, artists put a lot of time into that. So listen to it in order, please.
Yeah, it's funny. We really do, don't we? And then, and you know, you can, yeah, and you can tell, I think, sometimes with records that, you know, maybe somebody didn't put as much thought into, but I think it's a real important thing. So maybe starting with the first song, and, you know, tell us the title of the song, whether it was written on your own or whether it was a co-write, who was involved with the song, and maybe the story behind the song. And
yeah, for sure. So the album starts with Out of the Shadow, which I thought was fitting because it was really the jumping off point for the album. And like I said earlier, it was, I wrote the song by myself. It was, I think I wrote it in March or April of 2020. So, you know, a lot of feelings around that time, a lot of, you know, stress and trying to figure out, you know, what the world and what your own world looks like. So that one was really a message of hope to kind of start with, that we were all kind of going through this new, you know, the pandemic together. Yeah. So that one was a good place to start, I thought.
Nice. And are you playing guitar and piano on this record all the way through, or?
So I actually, this sounds really, it sounds weird now. I actually don't play any instruments on the album, which I do play guitar and piano. So it sounds a little bit dumb. But because of kind of doing everything virtually, like I ended up making a little home studio kind of at the end of 2020. And I recorded all my vocals and everything there and then would just send them over to my producer. It was just easier for him to do all of the, like, the instrumentation for it, because he had a better setup, and he is just a very talented musician. So it was just a simpler process to just send the vocals through that way.
Yes, indeed. No, there's nothing wrong with that. I've got a couple of songs on my album that worked out that way too, because we were just wrapping it up as we were getting into the pandemic. And, you know, as you know, Fred Smith, and I was like, Fred, just, you know what, lay down the tracks yourself, man, because I'm not going to make it over there and we're not going to get this done on time. But then I think it also frees you up a bit, because it really allows you. I mean, you're a singer from the start. I'm really not. And I'm working on that and getting more comfortable with it. But I think when you're not burdened by all those trackings and overdubs and playing the instruments, it frees you up, you know, to sing a different way, or to maybe concentrate more on your vocals. I mean, sometimes it might have an adverse effect. I know if you've played some of the songs live, you get used to having a guitar maybe in your hand or something like that. But at the end of the day, I mean, when you go to record, you're not going to have the guitar in your hand anyways, generally. But so yeah, it must have been. Now, have you been focusing on your voice? And I mean, I've kind of noticed, and I don't know if this is just because I'm just continually discovering you, but as we've done collaborations and I've heard you on other people's collaborations, I mean, there's a lot of diversity and a lot of range and a lot of different styles. And same when I've heard you do your weekly cover songs and things like that. It always kind of blows my mind when I'm like, oh, wow, I never, like, big band torch songs or something like that. I'm like, wow, her voice is great for that, or blues or soul. You know, and I know, knowing you, that, you know, you're originally influenced by Taylor Swift and started out in kind of that country and then kind of went pop. But have the vocals been something that you're consciously kind of focusing on developing, or is it just happening through? Yeah.
Yeah. I ended up, I used to take, you know, singing lessons on and off throughout my whole childhood, through high school, all of that. And then kind of just when I was at school, that was my singing lessons. But I ended up starting again last year because I just felt like I was kind of at a standstill. And with the album, I wanted to grow my voice and get stronger and really take it seriously, because I was dedicating all that time to it. And it made me realize that I don't know what box I fit into. And that's always been a big struggle for me. And it's not necessarily that you have to put yourself in one, because I don't fully believe in that. But it was definitely, you know, like you said, I like to sing a lot of different genres. I'm comfortable singing a lot, and I try to push myself in learning all of those, especially during all the live streams I was doing. I was taking requests from, you know, from 6-year-olds, from 65-year-olds. I was doing a lot of different stuff, right? So it's definitely been tricky for me to kind of identify what my one strong point is, or kind of what type of musician I want to be for myself. But yeah, definitely as a singer first, I've been trying to push myself more, and only recently I kind of had a little breakthrough with my vocal coach, who's Amanda Kind, who's actually the director of KW Glee.
Yes.
Yeah. And she's amazing. And we started kind of listing off artists that, you know, people have compared me to, or people whose style I really like and who I kind of want to emulate. So it was a really helpful thing for me to kind of nail down, like, at least a small bubble of who I'm trying to be. And not that you want to copy other people, but it's nice to kind of have an idea of the direction you're going in. So yeah, it's definitely been a conscious thing of me trying to find my path.
That's great. Well, and Amanda Kine is another voice that our name I hear all over the place, and I really have to have her on the show. And it's funny because, but I mean, everybody's like, I don't think anybody's ever born fully unique or original. I think everybody starts off kind of emulating other people, and then through that, your own style develops. And whether it's consciously or unconsciously, I mean, even, you know, way back with the Rolling Stones or copying Chuck Berry lick for lick, and then, you know, now everybody, and then years later everybody's copying the Rolling Stones, and then down the line everybody kind of develops their original sound and their style. I mean, I recognize whatever song and style you're singing, I recognize CJ Cooper, which is good. You have a very identifiable voice. Maybe not always at first too, which is fantastic too, because you can kind of surprise people. And as I said, going, wow, I never would have thought of her doing those songs, especially, you know, those old classic songs, and you're somebody so young. So, but getting back to the album, sorry, that little digression there. So Out of the Shadow, first song, anything else you want to tell us about that song?
No, I think that about covers it. Yeah, that was definitely just like, that was the catapult into everything else.
And it really is a great name, a title to lead off that album. And especially, like you said, everything we've gone through, because I mean, God, I hope we really are coming out of the shadows finally. So it's an aptly titled song.
Prove to me that you still want me too.
That was Red Flags by CJ Cooper from her brand new album.
All right. So next song up on the album is what?
It is Soulmate. This is one that I wrote in college by myself. I was in a relationship at the time. I'm not with that person anymore. So it was a song that, you know, I was really proud of at the time. And when we broke up, it was a really big thing in myself of, you know, do I want to put this on the album? Do I want to bury it and never look at it again? It's tough, right? Especially when you're feeling all those emotions where, you know, you're in love with that person, you want to be with them. And then all of a sudden that's not the reality. So I think I know I've done a lot of growing up in the last couple of years. We've all kind of been forced to, and especially in, you know, a teenager, young adult age group, it's been a lot of, you know, growing and learning. And I just decided that, you know, I'm proud of the song. It doesn't necessarily mean the same thing to me anymore, but it's also, you know, a lesson that I learned. It's a feeling that I had. So I think that no matter what, you can't change what you've been through. So I shouldn't be ashamed of that, or, you know, feel like I can't still reminisce on the fact that that happened. So it was a song that I felt good about. So I ended up keeping it on the album.
Great. That's awesome. Do you find with songs like that, because I mean, really, I think that's more about when you talked earlier about, you know, trying to define or figure out who you are as an artist. I think when you're honest like that and you release songs like that and you write songs like that, and you share them with people, that's when you're really becoming a true artist. And do you find that those songs will suddenly resonate with somebody? Have you had that happen where somebody goes, you know, I'm really glad I heard that song because I had a similar story, and maybe their story is completely different than yours. Maybe it just meant something different to them.
Oh yeah, 100%. This song specifically wasn't ever released as a single. So this is going to be everyone's right. First time hearing it, but I've definitely had people, especially with Out of the Shadow, because it was written expressly for, you know, everybody, because we were all kind of going through most of those feelings. And I had a lot of people reach out saying that, you know, the song put a smile on their face, or, you know, watching the video was really helpful. And that's always the goal. Like, you write songs for yourself, you release them for yourself, you know, the cliche, which is true, because, you know, that's my process of me getting my feelings out.
Yeah.
But you always hope that there's going to be someone out there that resonates with it, or that, you know, oh, that really helped me because I thought I was feeling alone in that. So that's always the goal, to have, you know, somebody else care about that message just as much as you do, regardless of, you know, how, you know, if they have a different way of kind of, what's the word, you know, relating to it.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's awesome. I mean, and that must be a great feeling. That must be a rewarding feeling when you touch somebody like that. I know it's, Sarah McLachlan, I saw an interview with her, and she talked about the song Angel and how many people have come up to her and, you know, and told them, you know, thank you for writing that song, and, you know, how it helped them through a dark time and things like that. All right. So number three, so we got Out of the Shadow, Soulmate, and next song up is?
Next song up is Red Flags.
Now this song I know, and this song I love.
Yeah, this one, this is definitely one of my most recognizable songs for people that have heard of any of my stuff. This one was actually the first single off the album before I was planning on doing an album, because it was a song I wrote right before I went into college. And it was kind of just based on like past relationships. It wasn't about anyone in particular, but it was just kind of one of those punchy, like, I'm an angsty 18-year-old, I'm going to write a very good song. And I had kind of put it aside. And then when I was in college, we had a project where, you know, you had to pick one song that you wrote, and then we got to go into the studio and you got to direct the session and pick your, you know, your band members and all that. So my one friend, Jack Laidlaw, who I was in college with, he plays electric guitar on the track, and he's still, I always hire him whenever I do a show, and I want that electric guitar. So that one I had released right after, in the summer of 2019. And then it's just been like my song ever since then. So yeah. It's going on the album.
That's awesome. And sorry, you said that one was a co-write or it wasn't a co-write?
That one I wrote by myself, but I had him be the lead electric guitar.
Yeah, so There's some smoking guitar on that. I love that. Okay. Yeah, that one. And that was one of those songs. That was maybe the first one where, you know, because I had your first album, as we were talking before the show, and we met a while back to do a record exchange. And I've got a couple copies of your CD back here still. And my wife and I love listening to it. But when I heard Red Flag, we were both like, damn, she can rock. Like, that was a departure from, you know, from that first record. And I was like, wow. And, you know, and I would have thought it had been a newer song, but it was written a couple years back. So, yeah. And then the guitar work on that is just fantastic. So,
yeah. Jack did a great job. And it's funny you say that, because when I think about the timeline now, my first album was written really in the span of like 1 or 2 years, like probably for like 16 to 18. The album was released in August of 2018, and I wrote Red Flags in August of 2018. So it's so interesting that they were actually back to back, really, but it was so different from anything else I had written. And looking back now, the sound has changed a lot. Definitely a lot more diverse and grown up in the sound that I'm going for now.
Yeah, no, I love it. I'm probably going to, right after this show, just going to go crank it up and drive around the neighborhood with the windows down, because it's that kind of day today. That's awesome.
This one actually is getting a video as well to be announced soon. And I have a radio edit for it as well. That's going to come out in April as like just a precursor to the album, just to refresh everyone's memory.
Yeah. No, I mean, that definitely should be a big, big hit internationally. I mean, and I think the only thing stopping it, like anybody who's an indie artist, is just having the big machine behind you and all the money of a big record company. But I mean, that would hold its own on any market against any song, for sure. All right. So what's the next song up in the album then?
The next one is called Late Night Thoughts, which was produced by Jordan White. And it was more, again, a lot of these songs were songs I had to write in college, either for a project or they were just co-writes. This one I wrote by myself, but it was actually a poem project. So I just had to write a poem. And then I ended up turning it into an a cappella track. So it's very Billie Eilish inspired. I was probably in the studio with Jordan for like 3 to 4 hours, just layering harmonies. There's no instruments. It's just my voice. And it's not a very long song, but it was definitely one of the most challenging, because we were starting basically from scratch and just, you know, adding all these different layers. But it was a cool experience to try.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. I'm looking forward to that. All right, and then sort of the midpoint of the record, song number 5,
we end with Besties for Life, which is a single that's already out as well with a video. This one was a co-write with my good friend Abby Hall, and I had actually started writing the song by myself in college. I probably got about half of the way through. And I had gone through something with another friend at the time where I was frustrated. I wrote the song. I got out the feelings I wanted. It was halfway done. And I was like, okay, I feel better. I'll put it aside. Like, I didn't feel the need to finish it, because I wasn't upset anymore once I got that much out. And
okay, then, gotcha.
I ended up meeting Abby kind of at the tail end of college. And we were paired up for a series of music festivals. And it was really neat. And we wanted to co-write a song as our finale for our set. And we weren't really able to find an idea, so I kind of pulled this song out, and she's like, oh, I actually went through something really similar, and she wrote the second verse, and then we ended up finishing the song, and it was perfect. Like, she was the missing puzzle piece I needed for the song, and then it turned out to be so fun. And we ended up making a video for it. We performed it live a few times, and I thought it was a nice way to kind of end the first half of the album.
It's a great song. I love that song, and I've seen the video and I've heard the song many times, and I heard a bit of the story behind it, so that's kind of cool. It's almost serendipitous. I mean, it's interesting how you keep these kind of like spare parts around, and then all of a sudden, you know, I was talking to Matt Weidinger a couple of weeks ago, and he said that's where he's, you know, really struggling, doesn't throw anything out, and he's got reams of lyrics and stacks of songs. And I'm like, I'm the same way. I mean, and I would almost need a full-time person just to go back through and see if any of that stuff is salvageable. But, but that was fortuitous then with meeting Abby. And is she somebody you're still friends with or still write with or collaborated with?
Yeah, we're very close. We haven't written any other songs together as of yet, but I was in one of her music videos right before COVID. She's actually going to play at my show, which I'm sure we can talk about later. And yeah, she's definitely still a really great friend of mine. She's very talented. She's someone that's doing fairly similar stuff to me, which is nice because we are on the same level and we understand kind of what this industry is like and what we're both trying to accomplish. And it's never felt like a competition. And a lot of the time in the industry, especially with like young women, it can feel, you know, not that you want to feel that way, but it's hard when you see other people doing what you're doing. And it's never been anything but love between us, which is great.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I think we all know that feeling at some time, but at the end of the day, I mean, really, I think the only real competition you have is yourself. And I think if people focused on that and supporting everybody else, and most people do, like I do find, at least on the surface, and that's where you just don't know. I mean, it's, you know, oh, hi, how are you? Great to see you. Let's do lunch. I mean, I don't think it's that superficial, but I mean, on the surface, certainly in Southern Ontario, I mean, in your hometown and my hometown, there really is a community supporting music and the arts and things like that. And, you know, I think people may look at somebody else and go, damn, they're a lot more talented than I am, but it's not in kind of an envious way. It's more of a, man, we got a lot of talent in this area. and then it becomes daunting because you think, okay, this is just one town. And then you multiply that by how many towns and how many cities and go, okay, now I understand the competition out there. And then you go on TikTok and, you know, I'm just like, oh, I can't think that far ahead. So that's why I say, you know what? I just got to turn inwards and say, what can I do to just be better myself? I can't compete against everybody else. So
100%. Yeah, it turns into a motivation thing. Oh, they're really good. So how can I be just as good? You know, how can I get to that level? So it's definitely,
I hate the way we drive around singing all night long. I hate the way we match our clothes and sing our favorite songs. I hate the way we just sing out with your fam and there's no doubt that I hate it most of all that you let me down. I hate it that you promised me it was us against the world. From prom dresses to concerts still, I just guess you weren't the girl. I hate it that you never gave a shit on my birthday. Try to
out of mind, out of sight, out of mind. What were you thinking?
Out of mind.
Wrote down a letter,
out of mind.
What were you thinking?
Out of mind.
Dream team, not enough.
Leave me in the middle, less of that minimal effort. Get it through your head, you got some growing up, yeah. All I ever did was try, but now you're wasting my time. I'm not surprised. So here's goodbye to besties for life.
Out of sight, out of mind, out of sight, oh, out of mind.
What were you thinking?
Out of mind.
Dream team.
Out of sight. Not enough.
That was Besties for Life, another song from C.J. Cooper's brand new album.
And I think that's the beauty of the indie world. I think everybody's got their place. I'm discovering new artists and new music every day. And I'm just like, and that used to be an excitement for me, is discovering somebody that somebody else hadn't heard. So, I mean, there's lots of that out there too. But all right. So moving on. So starting, I guess, as we were talking old school records for me, like, so now we flip the vinyl over and side one, song one is what?
Oh, sorry. I mean, that would be side two, song one, actually, or song number six on the album. Whatever is easiest for people to follow.
It's called That Ain't Love. And this one was a co-write as well with my friend Jade Williams from school in college. And this was a song that it wasn't for a project. We just decided to get together and write it. And it was for a friend of ours that was going through a tough time. She was just in a bad relationship. The guy was not treating her well. And we wanted to let her know that, you know, she had a team of people that did love her and care about her the way that she deserved. And I think it's a really powerful song. It kind of was one of those, not underrated, but, you know, it wasn't at the forefront of my mind while I was putting the album together. It was a song that I really loved, but, you know, out of the shadow and red flags can kind of get in the way of some of the other things. And when I was recording it, it was a really tough one to record, actually, because it wasn't until I was, you know, sitting in my little studio alone and just recording the vocals that I was really understanding, you know, how powerful it was and, you know, how hard that situation was for my friend, for myself, to like watch that happen and have to be a support system. So I think, you know, obviously you don't want people to relate to the sad stuff, but I hope that it can help some people out there to know that you're not ever stuck in bad situations. There's always people out there that can give you a hand. And I ended up having a few other girls sing on the final chorus to kind of blend it and give it a bit more lift, which was something I did on my first album with a song called Love You Like Me, where I wanted, you know, a few extra people kind of behind it. So I thought that was really powerful to have some other women singing at the end of the song.
That's great. That's awesome. All right. And song number seven, I guess we are at, or B-side song two.
This one's called Blue Moon. This is the other song that was done with Jordan. And this one is very, I'll be straight up, it's weird. It's kind of weird.
I like it already.
It's very different for me. I think it's the one song in the album that, I mean, maybe doesn't really fit, but it's also me kind of experimenting and seeing, you know, what people like and what people want to hear from me, and also being able to rule out stuff that maybe I'm not really going to go into. But this was another poem project that I had to do. We wrote a lot of poems. And it's actually a love song from someone to the moon. So they're in love with the moon and they can never be with the moon, but they're content with just seeing her every night. And it was just kind of a sweet little thing. And similar kind of with the Billie Eilish vibe, a little more like kind of techno. Like it's more of like a chill vibey song. So something different that I hope people might think is interesting.
Yeah, that's neat. It's always good to have a song like that on an album. All right, cool. What's next up?
The next one is called This Train. And this was a co-write with my friend Genevieve Andre in college. When on my first day of school, we got a project. Sounds so cliche for college, but it was, what did you do this summer? And the summer before I went to school, I had actually performed on the Via Rail train from Toronto to Vancouver.
Yes.
So I wrote about that. I was like, well, I was on a train for a little while there. And I don't remember what Jen did that summer, but she decided that it wasn't as cool as what I did. So you had to pick one of them and then write a song. So we ended up writing this train. And it's super fun. I think this one is probably the most similar to my first album. Okay. It's like, I wanted to have a few songs that were still very, you know, true to where I started, the very acoustic, you know, just very simple, style. So she was going to sing on this one. She lives in Sault Ste. Marie, so we couldn't meet up to record it together. And she had some technical issues, so she's just a co-writer, but this one's very fun. It's a very windows down in the car in the summer. So I'm excited for people to hear it just as we're kind of getting into that. And there'll be a video for this one as well.
Oh, cool. That's great. I am a sucker for train songs. And it goes way back, because I mean, a lot of the origins of country and rock and blues and stuff with the rockabilly, always had that kind of, the guitar always had that kind of chugging train sound before they had, you know, a lot of these bands were just a guitar player and a bass player. So they had to give it a real percussive sound to kind of, and a lot of times you have that train sound, and I'm always trying to write the train song. David Madras and I wrote a train song way, way back. So I'm always there trying to refine it. So I can't wait to hear this one. And I knew that story, about you going across the country in the train, which is fantastic. But even going back to, like, there's a famous, train back in 1969, Festival Express, which took a bunch of musicians across the country for concerts. And there's an old Woody Guthrie song called This Train, which is an old spiritual, and I think it actually might even be a bit of a protest song because he was famous for that. So I can't wait to hear this one and can't wait to see the video. That's awesome. All right. So after the train song, what have we got?
Oh, there's only two more. The next one is called Saint. And this was a co-write and a duet with, my friend Hawkeye in school. And that's the real name, Hawkeye. this one, is also very different. It's got more of a punk vibe because that's what Hawkeye does. And nice. It's one of those things where if you heard the two of us separately, you would never think we would go well together with our voices.
Right.
Especially at that time where I wasn't really pushing myself to be, you know, as edgy as I'm kind of pushing myself to be now. But this song turned out to be honestly probably one of my favorites on the album. It was just a really interesting process. They like to write very kind of poetic lyrics, lots of metaphors and stuff. So the song itself is actually a metaphor for depression, but it's not quite as sad as that. It was just a really different process of writing it. And I think it'll kind of catch people off guard in a good way when they hear it. It comes in with like a really strong electric part and the vocals are like really intense, but I think it was definitely a fun out of my comfort zone song to try out.
Good for you. Yeah, I'm excited to hear that. Mm-hmm. All right. And then does that bring us to the last song? The closer. All right. What's the final song in this album?
The final song is Never Alone, which was my most recent single that came out last March. Yeah. And I wanted to finish with this one because it's also very similar to my first album, a very simple pared down acoustic, you know, stay true to where I started, my roots, all that. And it was a song that I wrote shortly after Out of the Shadow. So still very much in that feeling of, you know, you're not seeing any of your friends and family, you're frustrated. I obviously, as we all did, had a lot of stuff that was getting canceled, a lot of tears for sure. So I had to just keep writing these kind of songs so I didn't go crazy, because it really did feel like I was alone and it was a really tough time. So kind of writing, you know, hopeful songs kind of tricked myself into feeling hopeful. So I wanted to end on that note, especially now that, you know, we're coming, like it truly does feel like we're coming out on the other side now, after so much time. So I wanted to end it with that feeling of like, guys, we did it. We're here.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah, I remember when you released that song, and it really is. It was just what we needed at the time. So that's a perfect note to end on. That's awesome. Well, it sounds like, I mean, as we were talking about, you know, order of the songs and things like that, it sounds like you really did get it right. I can't wait to hear this. So I can't wait to hear, well, the couple of songs that I already know, but I'm really looking forward to hearing the new songs on this record. That was CJ Cooper with That Ain't Love, another great song from the upcoming new album. You have an album release party coming up May 14th, I believe. Is that right? Yeah, Saturday, May 14th, which I bought a couple of tickets for, but I've already had a previous commitment to see David Boyd James and Aaron Allen, and that show already got canceled once, and it's out of town, and it's at the Red Barn Brewing Company. My wife will kill me if we don't go to that. So So we're going to actually, you and I are talking, we're going to do a giveaway and we'll promote that after the show so that some lucky person can win these two tickets. But tell me about that show. Is it going to be solo acoustic? Are you going to have a band or it's going to be a mix or how's that going to run?
Yeah, it's actually going to be a pretty diverse show, different than anything I've done before. The album was actually originally supposed to come out last fall. And because of the restrictions, I knew I wanted to do it right. I wanted to have a real, you know, live show. So I do have a few guests. I've got Jack, Abby, and Hawkeye, who are all on the album already. They're going to be coming out and it's going to be a bit of a mix. So I'll definitely be doing some acoustic stuff. Might even bring my loop pedal. We'll see. Cool. And then they're going to kind of make their own cameos and we'll do some songs. It's just going to be a really fun night. It's at Sarmazian Flooring in Waterloo, which is a very random kind of venue, but I actually work at their Guelph location.
I was trying to figure out the connection there.
Yeah. So yeah, I actually work at the Guelph store and they've been very kind in letting me host at the Waterloo store, which is brand new. It's very nice. They've got a great space for entertaining actually at the front there.
So beautiful.
Cool. Yeah. Have some food and drinks and fun and it should be a really great night.
I'm devastated. We're going to miss that. And I won't be able to meet Hawkeye. I've never met anybody named Hawkeye. I mean, there was Hawkeye Pierce on the show MASH, that but I never met a real life Hawkeye. So, and I think there's a superhero, isn't there? One of the X-Men or something. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Anyways. So that sounds exciting. That sounds fun. Now, are you going to be doing more shows like that? Or like, will this just be kind of a one-off album release? Or is it, I guess it's too early to maybe tell yet.
Yeah, for now, it's more of a one-off. We are all kind of scattered a little bit, too. So yeah, we're trying to figure out our schedule to, you know, get together and practice and all that. So for now, it's just going to be kind of one night, put it all out there, do a really cool thing. It's also just a lot of work. For anyone that hasn't ever put together a full show, I used to do shows at a place called the Red Papaya in Guelph. I was in high school. Yep. Only put on like a 3-hour show when I was like 16 and when I was like 18. It's so much work and this is like 10 times that at least. So I'm very excited, but it's definitely a lot more than people probably expect. Like there's, you know, figuring out food and drinks and all that stuff and guest lists and PR and all that stuff, but it's a very fun process. It's exciting that I'm actually here and I'm getting to plan it now because it felt, you know, like I was on a hiatus for so long, just kind of waiting for things to open up. So I'm very excited. Tickets are selling. So it's nice to have that to look forward to.
I was going to ask you if there's tickets still available and where can people get tickets for the show?
Tickets are still available. My Instagram, I have a link in my bio. My Instagram is CJ Cooper Official and you can purchase tickets on there. You can probably just look it up on Eventbrite. That's where they're selling. My Facebook as well, CJ Cooper Music. So I've put it out as many places as I can.
Perfect.
It should be pretty good. We're about a quarter sold right now.
Okay. Well, that's great because I know tickets just went on sale. So that's exciting. And we have lots of lead time. So I'm hoping it'll be a sold out show with, you know, new fans as well as old fans. And we continue to see things grow. So will there be a plan to do more shows throughout the summer? Or are you going to just be playing kind of solo acoustic or will you actually be trying to put a band together? Do you have some local musicians that you can build a band with?
Typically I do solo shows. I haven't ever really put together a band for show other than I've had my sister used to do drums for a couple shows for me actually.
Oh, cool.
She was younger, but no plans for a band right now. I'm also in school on top of working, so I'm finishing school next month, so I haven't fully kind of dove into booking summer shows right now. I recently was playing a wedding, so I do a lot of private stuff, but I'm hoping to start booking some more festivals this summer. I have one booked for Father's Day weekend that's not quite official yet, but look out for that announcement. Hopefully some acoustic shows to really get out there and promote the album and also just see everyone's face. It's just been so long.
Yeah, we've got a good sized backyard. It's a little bit tiered, but we thought about, right, you know, I could put a stage up in the back. We call it the back 40. It's not really that big, but we've been talking about doing some backyard shows. So if that happens, I'll definitely be giving you a call. That would be awesome. All right. Well, CJ, it's such a pleasure to see you. We have kept in touch, but it's been a while, I think, since we've kind of been face-to-face over Zoom or seen each other in person. And I know you've been busy with the album and I've been busy with projects and I didn't want to slow down the process, but it's funny because I remember talking about this a while ago and it seemed so far in the future. And I'm like, oh my God, now the future is here. It's really amazing. So that's, I'm excited for you. Not probably nearly as excited as you and your family are, but this is exciting. So it's fantastic. Thanks for joining me on Musicians FAQ this week.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Be sure you get your tickets for CJ Cooper's album release party May 14th in Waterloo. Check her Instagram bio for the link and for the information on that. Also, stay tuned to her Instagram page and her Facebook page for an opportunity to win tickets for a contest that we're going to be doing over the next couple of weeks. We're going to leave you with one more song from CJ Cooper's soon-to-be-released brand new album, Are We There Yet? This song is called This Train. Thanks, as always, for tuning in to Musicians FAQ. We're here every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on CKMS 102.7 Radio Waterloo. As well, we are on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Have a great week.
The clock strikes. It's time. Time to go. Coast. This guitar, these steel rails lead me far away. Watching the world pass by, days and nights in my head. And I'm running away. I got something to say. Gotta catch a stray. We feel right.